Well, the school boards are focusing on pretty much three questions right now. What do we want students to know and be able to do? How best to teach them those things? And how are we going to pay for it? Those are kind of the central themes of school boards probably any time. But now we have a lot of data. We have testing data regarding student achievement. We have evaluation data related to teacher performance. And we have a lot of data regarding school funding.
What about Common Core? That's going to be an issue in the fall elections. In fact, one of the candidates is say no to Common Core party line.
Well, I hate to say that it seems to be politicized as much as it is. Common Core is a set of standards that very clearly enunciates what we would hope our students would know and be able to do at certain times throughout their educational career, leading up to graduation, leading up to their ability to enter into a college or into a career without a significant amount of remediation. The fact that it has been bundled up with testing and with teacher evaluation has made it very controversial.
Speaking of teacher evaluations, the state released the most recent set of evaluations last week. Something like 94% of teachers were rated good in the classroom, 92% of principals. It sounds pretty good. What do you think?
Well, you know, it is probably somewhat accurate. What you have is several components to these evaluations. One is the state tests themselves. And at that level, the teachers did not do quite as well as they did when you start taking in some locally negotiated data and then the classroom observations and skill assessments that are being done by principals who are in the local school. Basically, what it means is when you start looking at test data, the empirical data, there's one set of outcomes. If you start looking at more subjective ways, it looks better. When it's all said and done, the legislature had stepped in and said, we're not going to do anything with this data that is going to harm teachers or be caused to not allow them to get tenure or cause them to be dismissed. They basically offered a safety net. And that sounds great, except that we now have some teachers out there who, frankly, could use the professional development, and they're not going to be able to get it because they won't need it.
In about 2 months from now, on Election Day in November, New Yorkers will decide the fate of a bond act, the Smart Schools Bond Act. It's somewhat unusual. I don't think I've seen one ad for or against this bond act, even though it's more than $2 billion. What does the School Boards Association think of this bond act, and are you surprised that we're not hearing a whole lot about it?
Well, I don't know what the plan is for rolling out a campaign in support of this. In my circle, we've talked a lot about it because what this does is it is going to be a question put before the voters in November to ask them, will the state of New York be allowed to borrow $2 billion? And with that $2 billion, schools will be able to purchase technology for the classroom, high-speed internet connectivity, universal pre-K classroom space, etc. The people that we talk to locally, they say, we'll take that. We think it would be helpful to have that kind of resources available to us. And primarily what we would do is we would purchase iPads and other classroom technology, whiteboards, things like that. There have been those who have questioned whether or not borrowing for those things that have a relatively short shelf life is a good idea. But frankly, if it's going to help us get the technology moving in the classroom and the move to digital learning, which is so important to our kids, we're all for it.
The property tax freeze, the 2.5% property tax freeze, it's been around now for several school years. What is the effect?
Well, the tax freeze has truly put a very strong cap, disincentive for any school district that wants to exceed that cap is in place. And now we have a tax cap freeze, which allows for rebate checks be given to taxpayers who live in school districts that have stayed at or below the cap. That tax cap rebate check will be coming out this fall for the first time. There is promised to be another one next year. And then after that, school districts have to introduce efficiency plans that are going to lower the amount of money they raise locally by 1% each year for the next three consecutive years. It really is putting a lot of pressure on what we can raise locally at a time when state aid has been slow in coming and the costs of providing this public education are going up dramatically.
Are schools dipping further into the reserves? Do they have that rainy day fund to fall back on?
They are dipping into their reserves. And I don't want to make it sound like, you know, we're in a crisis or anything like that. They are using their reserves appropriately. They are getting additional state aid. They have additional access to other forms of funding when possible. But it is a situation where I think school boards are becoming increasingly concerned about the costs that they are incurring and not really knowing if they're going to have the ability to pay for those costs.
What are the mandates like? Are you getting mandate relief? Is the state ed pouring more mandates on the school districts, on the school boards without accompanying funding?
I think it depends on who you talk to. From what I have seen, there have been a lot of, I won't call them mandates per se, as something that says, here is what we would hope our children are expected to know and be able to do, the Common Core, for example, testing in alignment with that Common Core, a curriculum that is going to require us to deliver services differently. You can call those mandates. The state would say, we're simply saying to you, here's what the standard is. You at the local level figure out how to deliver them. But a lot of the people at the local level would say, as long as those standards are set in place, we really don't have a whole lot of flexibility locally. So there is this kind of argument back and forth. Is it a mandate or is it something that is to be determined locally? And I think it depends who you talk to.